As colleges and universities across the country hold their graduations, I'd like to highlight a place where students receive the best classical liberal arts education in America. And when these students graduate, they've studied the great books, the history of Western civilization and of America, and the meaning and history of the Constitution. Can you guess who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Hillsdale College. Hillsdale was founded in 1844 to offer the kind of education needed to preserve civil and religious liberty, and holds true to that mission while refusing to accept one penny of taxpayer funding, not even indirectly, in the form of student grants and loans. Hillsdale students also abide by an honor code, which ensures a unity of purpose and fosters lively, civil, and intelligent debate. See for yourself and learn from Hillsdale for free through their influential Speech Digest in Primus and by taking online courses on American history, the Constitution, and other subjects. Find out more at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com. Join the battle over education for our country's future today.
I'm here to tell you, I want a responsible, sensible debt ceiling. It puts us on an economic path to make America stronger. It works for every American. But that cannot happen if the president continues to ignore the problem. And he can't continue any longer. The day is coming. I do not want to see this president bumble in to a default. I want to sit down and solve the problem together.
So what I hope that doesn't look like folding. I hope that's what, you know, the problem. I hope it's not like a folding of on the position that Republicans have had going into this. On all of the debt ceiling stuff there, because it's turning in, the primary is starting to affect some things in a negative way, and we got to talk about this. Welcome to the show. Happy Monday to you. Dana Lash here with you. And you can listen to the program across the country from sea to shining sea. You can also watch the simulcast as well on channel 347 DirecTV. So, bipartisanship came put in slight. What do you mean by this? What did you mean you put it? What do you mean this is what bipartisanship?
Look, I think
like?
From the beginning, and obviously some of it was his effort to become speaker. A lot of the talk about the debt ceiling,
yeah.
And I think he's the one that's actually been out there with at least the verbiage expressing that they want to work with Democrats on this. Democrats have not been doing that. As a matter of fact, Democrats are like, if they don't take it the way we want it, then we're not going to do anything. You know, it's that. Our way or the highway sort of situation.
Right.
So I think the way Kevin is approaching this is a bipartisan.
Kevin, are you guys buds?
Yeah, we're first name basis. but I think the way he's doing it is more of a bipartisanship effort than what the Democrats have been doing.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I thought you were saying that if they do, it's okay because it's going to be bipartisanship. I was like, wait a minute. Why? You're not king.
His efforts
are
way more bipartisanship than Democrats.
So the problem with this, though, is that I feel it's a tough line for him to walk because they financially have to deliver for all those people that in the middle that are infuriated over all of the stuff that they've seen and with what their tax dollars have been going towards. And of course, everyone's broke and. The last thing that people want to see, especially Republican voters, is at a time when their purchasing power is gone. They don't want to hear people in D.C. sit here and argue back and forth as to their debt limit. Oh, let's go ahead and just like eliminate it. It's OK. It's all right. Just, you know, let's just go ahead and get rid of it. It's not going to go over very well. Not at all. So this is some of the stuff that we're getting into as well. I've got some amazing audio for you today. And then we're going to talk about some of the primary stuff. We're going to get into some foreign policy, all kinds of things to get into. This is one of the things. Law and order, just so you know, there's going to be the Department of Justice. They're having a press conference at noon, so in about an hour, 1 p.m. Eastern. And it's going to be a couple of folks with FBI New York. And then some of the DOJs, the FBI field office, et cetera, they're announcing arrests and charges in a significant national security matter. So, I don't know. Are they going to arrest some parents at school board meetings or something? I mean, I'm just wondering what this is about. They said the Justice Department is having a press conference to announce arrests and charges in a significant national security matter. So, some of these moms and dads are getting arrested for school board stuff, right? I mean, is that how am I to interpret it? Maybe it's accurate. I'm just saying. So, we'll, I mean, I don't know exactly what to expect from that. I don't know if we're going to take it or not, but we'll keep you updated as to what, you know, if there's any, there's anything like, you know, big in there, we'll let you know. Chicago, over the weekend. So mobs of teenagers and young adults and grown adults were all out in the streets at all hours of night, clashing with cops near Millennium Park Saturday night. Two teens wounded, one bystander beaten. In fact, they had to have police, if there were the tourists that were in the area, police had to escort them back to their hotels. Why in the hell would you go to Chicago if you're a tourist? Like back in the like the late 90s, early aughts, it was fine, kind of. I mean, I liked Chicago, but why would you go back? Why would the hell would you go? I mean, unless you're going to see the crime, I mean, I don't understand what the tourism attraction is. Guys, we're going to go to the number one crime capitals in the country. Their DAs don't care. Let's go ahead and let's go see. It's like a field trip. They said the mob erupted in violence, trashing property, smashing windshields, torching cars, attacking one motorist. They beat the hell out of one guy sitting to the hospital, a Hispanic couple. The wife was terrified. She was trying to talk to the press and she was like, I don't know. They just beat him. He's in hospital. I don't know. They just beat him. God love her. She was terrified still. She was shaking as she was talking to the press. They beat him to the, he was at the wheel and they just attacked him. And then, there, of course, there was another teenager who had a gun, illegal possession. 16 and 17-year-old got wounded by it. And then there was a 14-year-old boy shot during an outburst of teen violence the day before. There was not an arrest or one arrest in that incident. So they had hundreds of teenagers, actually thousands, they said, of teenagers in the Chicago Loop around 9 p.m. There was a social media post that called for a meetup near Millennium Park. And they said that they were just fighting and some of them had guns and all. I mean, it was just, you know, those damn gun organizations, right? Isn't that all their fault or something? You sitting out somewhere in South Carolina, law-abiding American, innocent. This is your fault, isn't it? Isn't that what we're told? It's a bunch of teenagers. I just see thousands of kids who need their asses beaten. That's what I see. Where are the parents? Can we beat their ass too? Honestly, that is, you want to know what one of the keystones of my administration would be if I ever ran for president? It is the National Beat Your Ass campaign is what it is. If we see, I'm just saying, like, if you're a bad parent, I feel like we should get to whoop you. If your kid's out there doing this hoodlum stuff, I feel like we should beat you, right? You get a whooping. Spare the rod, spoil the child. That's what it is. And then, but to make it worse, check this. This is crazy. So the new mayor-elect, right? The guy who's, can't even believe I'm saying this, worse than Lori Lightfoot. He got mad, Kane. He got mad at all the people who were talking all kinds of shadiness about these teenagers, saying don't demonize them. He said it's not constructive to vilify a group of rowdy teens that were torching cars. It's so mean to do that. He said it was not nice. I think we got audio of him saying that it was not nice. Listen to this. This is, I can't believe that this is an elected official who says it's bad to criticize teenagers who are actually old enough to criticize them from all of the shenanigans, the illegality in which they're involved. Listen.
So you're not condoning looting.
I'm saying that people are acting out of desperation. We don't want a society that is acting out of desperation, but you have to pay attention to the cries that people have.
By so you're not that, condoning looting.
There's no way to embrace that. What I'm saying is you can't condone the looting that corporations continue to do every single day when they take tax dollars from black, brown, white folks all over the city of Chicago so that they can turn a profit.
Golly, I feel like we just accidentally did some meth. What did we just hear? How is this? He's like, no, they're desperate. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I know a little bit about being poor. I grew up broke as hell. I ate gravy and biscuits for days in a row. For a significant portion of my life, I was raised by a single mom who had a high school education. She worked 2 and 3 jobs at factories, everything else. I couldn't afford new clothes. I couldn't afford new shoes. I was the poor kid in my school. I was the poor kid in my class. I was the poor kid from a broken home. And some of the other parents didn't really want their kids talking to me because who knows? Maybe I was a statistic. Who knows? I was a broke kid that came from a broken family that had a history of some stuff. I didn't have, but my family. And I didn't go out and do all this stuff. I wouldn't even thought of going and doing this stuff. And I guarantee to you, I was poorer than any of these kids that were riding in Millennium Park could imagine. Whenever anyone sits here and is like, oh, you have it easy. Do I? Because I came by everything I own, honestly, and I worked my butt off to get it. Nobody made me. Nobody gave it to me. I never did any of this. I can't tell you how many, I guess by the national standard, they would be at the poverty line. People living in flyover country. I mean, I have family that, you know, live in trailers in the Ozarks. They would be considered at the poverty line by, you know, the country standards. They don't do any of this stuff. They don't go out there and set fires to cars and bust up shop windows and do all this stuff. And their kids don't either. My gosh, if I ever did anything like that, my mom would have beaten me within an inch of my life. And her family would have come up from the rural Missouri to help. I mean, that's just stuff you didn't do. You just didn't do that. Oh my gosh, I couldn't even imagine. I remember one time when I was a freshman in college, I had a Buick Skyhawk. And this thing was just, I mean, it was a bad car. It was just barely running, technically a clunker. And I remember I went with some friends and we were doing homework at an Applebee's in Arnold, Missouri. And I was sitting there and I had my quesadillas and my soda and my mom pulled up into the parking lot. And we just happened to be at a table by a window where I could see into the parking lot. I literally saw this woman. Her expression looks like that eagle puppet from the Muppets. That eagle, you know. And I saw her drive up, cigarette on her lip, like Clint Eastwood. Giving me an eagle stare, making sure I was sitting there at the table doing what I was supposed to, and then she left. They didn't have Life 360 and all that stuff. I would have been terrified, because she knew. She was like magic. That woman knew. I think she's in the CIA. She knew where I was. I mean, she had no way of tracking me. There was a fear, and you know what? A respect. I couldn't imagine doing that to somebody. I couldn't imagine beating the crap out of the guy sitting in the car with his wife. You know, a couple that, it wasn't a brand new car. It wasn't a fancy car. It was probably all they could afford. And they had all these teenagers in their designer jeans with their damn iPhones, you know, entitled brats in Chicago who all need their asses beat. And they target these people's car. And they, you know, this woman lives in fear of her life. That these people aren't poor. I was looking at these kids. They're not poor. When you're poor, you can't afford an iPhone. When you're poor, you don't wear designer clothes. When you're poor, you don't have brand new sneakers on. When you're desperate, you don't have any of that stuff. These are bad kids who got bad parents. Let's be honest about it. And you know who's failing them? It's not the people criticizing them. They got every right to criticize. It's their parents failing them. And if these kids had an ounce of sense and this idiotic mayor elected too, they'd be blaming the parents. That's where it belongs. And these kids. Because you may not be raised better, but God gave you a soul. You have the ability to determine whether or not what you're doing is right. And ignoring that, that's what's wrong. Part of what's wrong with this country. We have a lot to touch on. We got to get to some of the stupid stuff that Republicans are doing right now, including some are wanting to be like, oh, well, I guess we got to fold on this culture war. And it's creating this narrative that the media is eating up. And we're going to talk about it in unapologetic terms. If you have not changed the way that you buy meat yet, you should make the switch to Good Ranchers today. When you subscribe, Good Ranchers will give you 1.5 pounds of free bacon in every box for a year. That's a $240 value. And this bacon tastes so good because Good Ranchers pigs are never crated and they never use antibiotics or added hormones. And they have heritage breeds that have historically produced the best pork in the world. Subscribe today and get their price lock guarantee. What you pay today will be what you pay a year from now. With Good Ranchers, I consistently get the same quantity and quality of meat every single time. Their all-natural burgers, USDA prime steaks, and better-than-organic chicken have changed my standard for great meat, and it will change yours too. Visit GoodRanchers.com and use code Dana for $20 off your next box. Get free bacon, great meat, a secure price, and a bonus of $20 off today at GoodRanchers.com with code Dana when you subscribe. GoodRanchers.com, code Dana. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so as we told you a little earlier, maybe about 35 minutes, the Justice Department says they're having a press conference to announce arrests and charges in a significant national security matter. Nobody knows what that significant national security matter actually is, or if it's just like parents who spoke out at school board meetings or pro-life, who knows? I don't know. According to, this is an interesting piece from Miami Herald, there was a new McClatchy poll that was released showing that DeSantis is leading Biden in the battleground states. This poll was published or conducted from April 11th through the 13th. McClatchy sent this over to Miami Herald. It said it's looking at all of the Republican primary candidates, and it shows that in this, it's 500 registered voters in Arizona and Pennsylvania. It's interesting that it's in those two states. There's a 4% margin of error. And it's interesting that it's registered voters is like, that's way better than likely voters. 500 is a pretty good sample, I guess, for registered, but Arizona and Pennsylvania, I don't know the breakout of either of them, but it's interesting though, he has apparently a huge margin of victory above the 4%, error rate, but that's the McClatchy poll leading in those battleground states. Also, a number of crooks are doing all of the shoplifting in New York City. We know this. We knew this because they're driving the crime in most every single city. An octopus tried to strangle a diver at 40 feet underwater. This was actually terrifying. Octopodes are terrifying things. I use the correct plural, by the way. And it's on video. And this thing is enormous. It was going after the guy's camera, and it ended up like getting him. But he was extricated from this. Crooks robbed a truck and got away with $100,000 in dimes. Okay, that has to be kind of heavy. And a brave mother literally fought away a dingo. The boys sustained serious but non-life-threatening injuries when they were set up on by a dingo Friday night in a park in Australia. Folks, your financial freedom is at stake when the government thrives on creating unrelenting inflation, an astronomical debt, crippling interest rates, and market turmoil that we haven't seen in decades. And now you have an administration that wants to tax everything that you have to fund runaway entitlement spending. You should empower yourself with opportunity and the freedom to pursue success and to keep the fruits of your hard work. And if you want to protect your future, you should call a precious metals dealer that I trust, American Hartford Gold. They can show you how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver. And all it takes to get started is a short phone call. And American Hartford Gold can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. They make it easy. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188. 887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
And Republicans can no longer be silent on this issue. And it's not about the Second Amendment. There are plenty of things that we can be doing besides offering prayers in silence. Some sort of Amber Alert, for example, to let the community know there's been a shooting. Strengthening our background checks is something that the vast majority of Americans support. Hardening our schools, churches, and synagogues so that there is deterrence, so that when a shooter, potential mass shooter, enters a place, that they know that maybe they're not going to make it through because there's bulletproof doors, bulletproof windows. Those kinds of common sense things are all things that every American on either side of the aisle can get behind.
I always get a little nervous when I hear Republicans borrowing phraseology from the left, especially when they're discussing enumerated rights. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash here. That's Nancy Mace. She was speaking about this Fox News Sunday, saying that we need to strengthen background checks, etc. Now, we've reached out to Nancy Mace to have her come on the program, and so far we haven't, because the last time we had her on, her staff reached out to us, which is usually how this works with a lot of times, because I don't really fall over myself to try to bring elected officials on unless you all want me to ask them specific questions. We reached out, and the last time she was on, her staff asked if she could come on. We haven't heard yet from her, correct, Kane?
Correct.
Yes, so we've reached out because I always like to ask people, well, come on and let's have this discussion, because I'm curious, when she talks about we need to strengthen background checks, what specifically is she discussing? When Republicans say this stuff, I always want to know what do you mean? Strengthen how? What about how did the system fail in these previous tragedies? How did that system? And I have my own thoughts on the function of the system and I guess its validity within the context of natural rights, but that's another discussion. I would like for Mace to explain or answer what she thinks, how she thinks that system particularly did not work for these past several tragedies. I mean, she talks about strengthening schools, hardening soft targets. That's fine. But when she says it, she's using the thing, well, we have to do something. And then she tried to cite this poll where she said, that, well, you know, the majority of Americans want to strengthen background checks. Well, the only poll that I know that says anything like that, it was a push poll that was done by, what is it, the Trace or something? It's like a Bloomberg. Michael Bloomberg, who is the godfather of all the gun control stuff after the Brady Bill, he's the guy who purchased the domain name and created the Moms Demand Organization and then hired a former Monsanto PR executive to head it and act like it was grassroots. He does the Everytown group. He did Mayors Against Illegal Guns, but a number of the mayors actually got in trouble and for things like child pornography and that as well. There were a couple of charges of that. There was a lot of bad stuff that they did. So they kind of disbanded it and just absorbed it by Everytown. And he also created this thing called The Trace, and it's supposed to look like this journalistic entity. And he created that whole thing for that purpose, to look like a journalism outfit, so that if he needed some sort of media citation, something to throw out to make it look like he was speaking about a credited issue, then he would have his own thing and he didn't have to disclose that he funded it and he cited it. That's the only thing that I've seen. And it was a push pull that presupposed that there weren't really any background checks at all, which is another stupid leftist talking point when there are. And the strengthening background checks. Usually what they say, that's a phrase that's used by people when they're talking about universal background checks. Just to be clear, and I will argue even with allies on this who don't understand the importance of rhetoric, it is federally regulated at every single level, even interstate transfers. Now you could say, well, you know, if you live in Texas and you want to transfer your firearm to another person who lives in Texas in a private sale, you can do that. So you can't say that it's federally regulated. Oh, well, then in that case, please explain to me why 18-19 USC actually lay out felony federal penalties for people who are not following the way that that's written, maybe they're not in the state, their state of residence, they're not allowed to legally purchase or possess. Then go ahead and explain to me why there are federal penalties for that, because it's still federally regulated. A private transfer, interstate private transfer, is one thing. And if it's not done lawfully, there's federal penalties for that. So it's still federally regulated because there are federal penalties that say if you don't do X, Y, and Z, then you're going to have to face this felony, this punishment, which includes a significant amount of jail time and a ridiculous fine. And then you're forever a prohibited possessor. So there's no such thing as something that goes under the radar. And by the way, there isn't any evidence that shows it's legal private transfers that support this anyway. I've even cited the 2016 DOJ survey that was done under Obama Biden before the election and what they determined. And they interviewed all of these, you know, violent offenders that were incarcerated, and every single person was telling them that they got their gun on the black market. Very few of them got it from straw purchasing. In fact, that was the second biggest thing, was either they did straw purchasing, that was still very few, or sorry, theft, and then straw purchasing. But the problem is, in fact, they interviewed a number of felons who were incarcerated in Chicago. And for a number of those who were convicted, they were convicted in Illinois. Chicago is one of the cities that has the highest rate of, quote unquote, gun crimes. But yet they have one of the lowest rates of prosecutions for felony gun charges. So it doesn't make it. They constantly reduce penalties, or they'll reduce charges, or they'll just dismiss them altogether. And in fact, it was under one of the good things that Jeff Sessions did back in the day, and he was briefly the AG under Trump. They had Project Exile, which was they were actually forcing a number of these judges to, they were denying them the ability, saying you cannot reduce this down to nothing or dismiss these charges. You have to meet the minimum mandatory for this. And it was actually pretty successful, but unfortunately, politics and palace intrigue ended up obliterating, you know, the potential that that program had. So, you know, there's so when she says stuff like this, strengthen background checks, she's talking about universal background checks. And what they mean when they discuss universal background checks is that these are people who don't either understand or they know, and they're still being maliciously dishonest. The interparty, the federally regulated interstate legal transfers. They want everything in order to have what they call universal background checks, meaning if you were to even just, if I were to give a gun to my son in Texas, we're both, you know, legally able to possess, etc., you would have to run, you know, constantly run background checks, which, by the way, private citizens don't have access to that system, number one. So it forces everyone to go to an FFL, which makes it more prohibitively expensive. Third, there aren't even FFLs in every single area. In fact, there are very few in, for instance, Cook County, or even, you know, fewer if you look at Manhattan. So it becomes prohibitively expensive, because in some states, they actually will charge an arm and a leg to do this kind of stuff. They want to do it like per purchase. You have to have a registry in order to carry something like this out, in order to have what they call the quote unquote universal background checks, meaning that you can't even interstate two legal individuals, illegal possession, etc., in the same state, private legal transfer of which no evidence supports that it is a driver of gun homicide. You actually have to have a registry in order to make this happen. And that's what none of these politicians seem to understand. It's what none of them speak to. And I'm incredibly disappointed in Nancy Mace, because I expect Democrats to say this stuff, but I don't expect to hear the liberty denying, Second Amendment offending language coming out of the mouths of people that have R's after their name. So we've asked her to come onto the show to explain it. Maybe some of her people are watching now, since we've extended the invite, and I can imagine they know what it is. But that's the question that I'm going to ask, and I would like to know. And I'm not going to stop extending the offer, because it's when politicians don't actually, because going on Fox News Sunday, I don't know who interviewed her, but I'm pretty damn sure that they don't know enough about the issue as all of us who were talking about this right now on this program. And they don't know what to ask or even how to follow up. So I think it's important that these lawmakers, when they say stuff like this, they talk to people who do know exactly what to ask and do know what those answers mean, and that they can ask these questions in a way that will actually bring greater clarity to not just the issue, but also to voters. So we're going to continue to extend an invitation until we get an answer. And I will let you know every single day as to whether or not the invitation has been accepted or denied. And I'm not going to stop, because I don't allow anyone to run from me. Now, with this, a couple of other things to hit too. So you have, this is the other issue in which I'm getting mad at Republicans. I see Republicans doing this with the culture war. And I was disappointed to hear Donald Trump Jr. say that everyone needs to lay off Anheuser-Busch because they've donated to some Republicans. I actually went to Open Secrets last night and I was looking at the breakdown of their donations, and it's pretty evenly handed. It's not that they donated more to Republicans than they did Democrats. It's actually pretty evenly handed. So I don't know if there were campaign donations that, you know, encouraged someone to, I don't know why, but culture war is important. And to say that we can't engage in it, I mentioned this last week. I know that there are a number of people out there who believe that history began when they were born, but conservatives have ignored the culture war for a really long time. This is literally why we're in the position that we're in now, because they would engage it in the 80s. They didn't engage it in the 90s. I remember when I was a college student towards the end of the 90s, going into the early aughts, you were still discouraged from getting involved in any kind kind of like cultural debate or pushing any kind of issue that, you know, policy that could be, you know, tied to any kind of cultural issue. It wasn't something that it, I mean, at that, it literally was like a fragment of the left's imagination because Republicans weren't engaging. And so it's really disappointing to see some of the remarks that I've seen from Republicans. And now I see the media weaponizing it to use it against, you know, potential candidates. One of these other things that dovetails into that is this story from Politico. It says McCarthy's pitch to shrink food aid is drawing skepticism from fellow Republicans. The House Speaker, I made mention of this to you last week when I was unveiling some of the things that Republicans were pushing in their budget proposal as they go to battle over the debt ceiling in the budget. And one of those was McCarthy was proposing these restrictions on the SNAP program, basically as a part of the debt limit negotiation. He was saying, look, you got to show that you're looking for work. You got to show this stuff, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This isn't supposed to be a forever solution. This isn't supposed to be like a supplement for universal income. That's not how you're supposed to use these things. And so there are some Republicans, apparently, according to Politico, that are saying that they just don't know. They, you know, they say that Republicans are closing some of these loopholes and they think he's going too hard on this. Remember last week when I was telling you that some were criticizing Florida when they passed the 6-week abortion ban, saying that this is too much, Republicans are doing too much, et cetera, et cetera. They went out and they interviewed this Republican donor who's a moderate Republican, which I thought was funny that was what they used as their basis. But they're trying to dissuade Republicans. They're trying to scare them off of these issues that are overwhelmingly attracting voters. And they're forgetting, you know, for instance, when you look at the SNAP program, I mean, there's a lot of waste that's in here and there's a lot of corruption that's in this. And that's one of the things that McCarthy and some of these other Republicans are looking to clean out, right? It's not supposed to be used as a supplement for some sort of, you know, universal income. But that's what Democrats basically want to run it as. And so they were saying that Politico is trying to stoke some division within House Republicans by saying, oh, no, there are two people granted anonymity to discuss these conversations. And they say that, oh, no, that, the, you know, a couple of Republicans are very, they just, you know, they're feeling some trepidation about this. They think it might be too much, too hard. These are Democrats and media baiting Republicans into being cowards. Just like they're doing it with the culture war. And it's sad to see some Republicans taking that bait. Republicans, are they? We're going to come back to that. Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
What's the future for Pete Buttigieg after being the Secretary of Transportation? Have you thought about it?
You know, right now I'm so absorbed in seeking to do a good job in the job that I've got. So there's absorbed. Never been a better time to work in transportation because of the funds that we have. But also, there has rarely been as challenging a time. We've seen the most disruptions come at our transportation system since 9/11. Most of them partly or totally related to COVID, affecting everything from container shipping and supply chains
that
to airline
totally
cancellations. So I've got my hands full. I know the most important thing is to do a good job for the country, for the administration right now. And then we'll see.
Yeah. Well, so he's like, I'm so absorbed in. But did you hear what he said? I'm so absorbed in seeking to do a good job. He's not actually doing a good job. But he's very absorbed in seeking to do a good job.
2 years so far.
Has it been 2 years? Yeah. Really? It's been 2 years. He's been Wasn't he out for like a whole pregnancy of one of those, like yeah, 9 months?
4 months, yeah.
Yeah, a man who needed to take like, no, he took more than that. He had months of maternity leave.
Seriously?
Yeah, months of maternity leave. Most women don't get months of maternity leave, but you know, he's a man, so he's specialer. Right? That's what we've been told by the left.
Recovering from chest beating.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's... I didn't even understand that whole thing. Well, we're going to talk here coming up about how Rhodes are racist. Because that was the other thing that he had. He's one of the... He really is the, like, picture perfect example of what a participation trophy leads to. He is not at all qualified for this department. He's not qualified. I mean, did you hear him? It sounded like a Chappelle skit. You know what I mean? I just... It's an exciting time to be working in transportation right now. We've got so many funds. Did you hear he said we have so many funds? He wasn't talking about fun. He was talking about funds, which is i.e. our money. It's so exciting to be working in transportation right now. I'm just having, it's, I mean, it's a really exciting time for transportation.
Working?
Yeah, what do? You don't do anything. You show up like Bob the Builder. And he's Palestine. You looked around, making sure, I guess, that there weren't too many white guys in construction hats. And then, what is he? I don't even know what he does. It all, since that story came out of him, and they fought it, but it was a FOIA request, him denying when he was on his maternity leave, denying, you know, any kind of question or discussions with people who were trying to figure out the supply chain crisis and closed ports, etc. I mean, that dude's a lost cause. Stick with us. Second hour on the way. Some GOP are making some mistakes and Rhodes are racist.
Americans have had it. They're done supporting companies that rake in hundreds of millions, sometimes billions of dollars, while trashing the country that made their success possible. Until recently, we had to take it. But companies like Patriot Mobile are building a whole new economy, one which embraces the values that made America the greatest country on earth. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. Plus, they offer a coverage guarantee. If you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch to a different network for free without changing carriers. With Patriot Mobile, their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them right now at 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today using offer code Dana. We should stand together and support companies that share our values. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
We've got a crisis when it comes to roadway fatalities in America. We lose about 40,000 people every year. It's a level that's comparable to gun violence. And we see a lot of racial disparities. Black and brown Americans, tribal citizens, and rural residents much more likely to lose their lives, whether it's in a car or as a pedestrian being hit by a car. There are a lot of reasons related to discrimination, related to even the ways that roads are designed and built. Who has access to a safe street design that's got crosswalks and good lighting? Who doesn't have that access? That can drive disparities. And we have a responsibility to...
Does anybody want to tell Secretary Mayor Poot where a lot of that money comes from? Yeah, it's your property taxes. It's local. Does he not understand this? He's one of the stupidest people alive. Welcome. It's accurate. I would be lying otherwise. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour. Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast. I'm an affiliate in your area. You can also stream the show. You can watch it, the simulcast of the radio show, via YouTube, Facebook, the discussion happening at YouTube, as well as Channel 347 DirecTV. He's sitting there across from Al Sharpton, sucking up to Al Sharpton. And he's saying, you know, even the designs of roads are racist. You know, crosswalks and stuff. Does he not understand how things are funded locally within your municipality? Lighting? Does he think that's a federal government issue? A street light on a corner in your town? He thinks it's a federal issue? It's a local issue, you moron. It's something that is decided locally. It's determined locally through tax dollars and your property taxes, how that support. Oh my gosh. This is basic stuff. One of my biggest pet peeves in life, and nothing makes me madder than when I have to explain stupid things to people who should know better. completely obvious things, like how property taxes work, how people determine where crosswalks go, and how they're paid for. It's not a federal issue. If he's upset that it's racist that there are some areas that don't have crosswalks, I bet you $1,000,000 to 1 that it's Democrat leadership in that area. So why not ask the leadership in that area? Why aren't they doing their jobs? That's how this works. Roads are racist. That's all this guy has. He has no expertise at all whatsoever in any kind of engineering. He has no background in engineering, no background in city planning, no background in transportation. He was hired because he sleeps with dudes. It's true. He was hired because it was a diversity hire for the administration. And they wanted to shield themselves from any accusations of bigotry. So they're like, well, he's gay. Let's put him here. He has no qualifications for anything else. He was barely qualified to be mayor of one of the smaller towns in Indiana, South Bend, which is, he wouldn't have been able to be competitive anywhere else outside of South Bend because it's surrounded by red. So they put him here. He got it because he's gay. Well, does he know anything about transport? Well, he sleeps with dudes, so I don't know. But he does. There's that. Oh, that's a great qualification. That means he understands all the intricacies of planning and road construction and engineering, etc. I mean, obviously, it translates to that. It's like the wild card in Uno. You can do whatever, right? That's how they looked at it. I. It's not wrong. It's not a lie. Good heavens. This is the stupidity of where we of our politics. Well, it's because it's just so. I mean, we had how many other train wrecks have we had like in the past couple of weeks?
At least 5 or 6.
Yeah. So are we going to have like lanes of equity on the highways? I'm just wondering so he thinks that we'll reduce somehow traffic fatalities if racism goes away, that racism is the driving factor of traffic fatalities. I mean, I'm really working hard to try to make this make sense in my head. I'm coming up a little short here.
Me too.
So is he, or here's the other thing. Is he saying that minorities are bad drivers in general? I feel like that's a legitimate question. That seems kind of racist because it seems like he's saying that it's just, you know, people of color are bad drivers. Minorities are just horrible drivers. That's what it is. That's what it sounds like he's saying. That's honestly, that makes more sense. Is that why rioters target cars? I mean, I'm just, you know, just a question in passing. Just, you know, just wonder. I just wondered. I was just asking. So according to the press conference, I'll just give you a quick update on that. There were 2 criminal complaints about China. They're announcing 3 cases against China. They had 30 officers of China's PD and 2 New York residents. Apparently they were violating law. Remember this whole thing where they had these secret police? China had secret police offices throughout the United States and they were going after Chinese nationals. It's related to this. So apparently that's what the cases are related to. We'll bring you any audio or more information as we get it. All right. So a few other things to get in on here that we must discuss is this whole situation with I wanted to get into some of the Anheuser-Busch stuff here. And we're also going to get into some of the Republican primary stuff. And we're also going to get in on the, well, which we're going to get in right now, is this issue of woke military. So the military, this was on Twitter over the weekend. In Bahrain, the Navy told sailors that they talk to their children at age 12 about gender, identity, sex, STDs, pregnancy, etc., without notifying parents. When asked if the Navy's policy circumvents a right to know, they answered yes. Nicole Benson, a Navy nurse practitioner. She was saying that she seems to be suggesting that parents were not, if they're not accepting of the trans agenda, that they're driving suicides. So they were talking about this in the Navy. So for people who think that the military isn't woke, well, here's further examples that it is. It is insane. Is this like an official Department of Defense thing? I mean, I'm curious as to whether or not this is a, you know, a policy that's shared across, you know, all of the branches. And people wonder, too, why military recruitment is down. They wonder why military recruitment is down. It's because of all of the wokery. Because everything is so ridiculous. Everything is so stupid. I mean, hell, roads are racist now. By the way, it would be like saying that NASCAR is just a murder machine for white people, since more white people drive cars than minorities in NASCAR. Just was thinking about this. So this situation with the, we've heard stuff like this in the military before, the level of wokery. And this is not, I mean, I just can't believe this is something that's being discussed. And this was in Bahrain in a Navy presentation. It was caught on video. This Navy nurse practitioner, Nicole Benson, suggesting that parents being unaccepting of the trans agenda is the reason that they have suicides. Robbie Starbuck had posted this this video on Twitter. And it looks like the government is actively engaged in promoting this kind of dysphoria. Meanwhile, you have China that's practicing drills on Taiwan, floating rumors of it's not a if but when. We have the petrodollar tanking, and this is what our military is focusing on. Interesting. Yes, of course they're going woke. CVS is telling employees to jump on the preferred pronoun train with new gender guidelines. Oh boy. Oh boy is right. This is all more of the, what is it, the DEI. They said employees must use preferred pronouns and they can use the bathrooms that reflect their blah, 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 all that stuff. You can, you know, however, you can use the bathroom that reflects your identity. And this, these guidelines, it's their official CVS health policy. They said that the transition guide, I mean, it is a requirement. It mandates the preferred pronoun usage, etc. Maybe they could just do something about the length of their receipts first. And then, you know, move on to some other things. That'd be great. Whew. But another one of the, just the latest company to go along with this. They also get into appropriate medical care for your transition. They get into hormone replacement therapy, etc., etc., all kinds of stuff. They have a section titled Guidelines for Supporting a Colleague Who's Transitioning. And it tells employees, ask colleagues to let them know if they say or do anything that makes them uncomfortable. Don't make assumptions about a person's gender. This is so stupid. And they talk about disrespectful terms that violate CVS's policy against discrimination. Like, you can't dead name anyone. You can't, is it dead gender someone? Or no, it's misgender. You can't, quote unquote, misgender someone. So you can't, you have to lie and you have to go along with the lie, or you could use your job and not pay your bills if you don't go along with someone else's cosplay. Because that's where we are. If you don't affirm someone else's cosplay, and affirm means adopt, then you could lose your job and your life could be ruined because you don't go along. Even if you're a woman, if you don't go along with the cosplay. They went after Judy Blume, by the way, over the weekend, too. I saw that. Judy Blume said something in defense of J.K. Rowling, and everybody came for Judy Blume. All the hateful, violent trans activists, they went for Judy Blume. Because she dared to say that J.K. Rowling was right, that women exist. We live in a stupid time. So we were just saying that apparently they announced the Department of Justice announced some cases against China. This goes back to that thing we've discussed before, where you had these like Chinese police departments, commie police departments secretly in the United States harassing Chinese nationals. And so that's what the cases are related to. We'll bring you any more information as we get it. And also coming up, the Republican Party needs to not bail on the so-called culture war. I'm going to jump off of, use as a jumping off point, this New York Times piece that blamed the quote unquote religious right. They said that they apparently got, they needed a new cause after, I guess, you know, the LGB or whatever stuff. And so now it's, they were the ones who created this trans, the trans issue, that it's the religious right that did. The left has been using that phrase for forever. We're going to use that as a jumping off point, because there are some Republicans that are now apparently, you know, either buying into the leftist narrative, or they're just showing people that they only go so far where it concerns actual limited government ideals.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So first up, this is kind of wild. A man with gunshot wounds drove himself to a Whataburger. That actually happened over the weekend in San Antonio. And the dude was shot in the chest, and he drove himself to a Whataburger. And when the officers got to the restaurant, they did not find him, but witnesses say that there was a white Mercedes that belonged to the guy in the parking lot. Police say a friend picked him up from the Whataburger and drove him to an entrance of Lackland Air Force Base. So they took the guy to the hospital. He's in critical condition. No word what led. There's no other information about it. No other. I mean, it's a wild story. Morgan Freeman calls Black History Month in African-American terms an insult. This is, man, Morgan Freeman doesn't play around. He said that he slammed the term Saturday, saying that both were an insult. He told the Sunday Times that the observance, which takes place every February, he says that it has a negative connotation to him and it relegates his culture to just 4 weeks. He says, two things I can say publicly that I do not like. He says, quote, Black History Month is an insult. You're going to relegate my history to a month? And then he says, African American is an insult. He goes, I don't subscribe to that title. He says, Black people have had different titles all the way back. He goes, I don't know how these things get such a grip that everyone uses African American. He goes, what does it really mean? Ooh, I remember when he did that 60 Minutes thing and he said, quit talking about race. He's like, that's what divides when you're constantly obsessing over it. I mean, there's some truth there. Oh, man. A man held in a disgusting Georgia jail cell. He died. He died after he was eaten alive by insects and bed bugs. There are photos of the cell, and it looks really nasty. It was in Fulton County Jail in September of last year. They said that it was not, that the cell was not fit for a diseased animal, the lawyer said. And so they are litigating this. They said he had a mental illness. They had to take him to the medical observation unit, but they found him in the cell, and the cell looks bad. It is bad. I don't even want to show those photos on the simulcast. It's very bad. So they're litigating that. How do you have it get to that situation in the cells themselves? So there's a piece over at the Hill asking, is there a worldwide run on the Bank of the United States of America? Which I think is good. I'm going to put this in your email prep because now this is a comparison. It discusses the petrodollar. It discusses Chinese currency, all of this. And I think that there's something to that for sure. Like I said, I want to put this in your email prep list for you subscribers. Manhattan median rent reaches an all-time high. This is eye-watering. It's almost $4,200 a month.
Oh, man.
And this is just for like an average, like, you know.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
This is one, like, we're dunking on them now, but when you actually look into it, they'd be one of the more conservative-leaning companies in America. So they've been put on notice. I'm leaving them alone. I think you should probably do the same.
So that is Donald Trump Jr., who I've known for a number of years. We've been friends for a number of years, who's talking about the Budweiser campaign. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. So he's saying that, well, we should leave Budweiser alone.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is, right? I mean, yes, that is the whole point. We're sort of like, yeah, we're leaving them alone. I mean, I don't. That's what it seems like. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash here with you. They released. The apology wasn't an apology. It was weird, and I realized that people have been pushing out this idea that, well, they're, you know, they donate to You know, they donate to Republicans. They donate to Republicans and Democrats pretty evenly. I actually went before coming to this on air and looked at Open Secrets, which is where you can look everything up. And I mean, it's pretty even-handed. So I'm not, I mean, unless, I don't know if it, I mean, do they get campaign money? I mean, I don't know. But part of the problem that we're, the reason why we're in this problem, but we have this situation, is because conservatives have and Republicans have ran from cultural issues for so long. And that's, I know that some people out there who are involved in politics now and think that history began when they were born, think that, well, Republicans, you know, avoid cultural. Well, you know what we've done? They did that. They were doing that when I was a kid in the 80s, running from it. They ran from it in the 90s. When I was in college in the aughts, they were saying, don't get involved in cultural issues. That's the reason we're in this situation. I mean, this wasn't just an ad or a little thing. This is this is the mainstreaming of appropriating the female sex, which has serious consequences for women. It has serious consequences for conservative women whose votes you need. It has serious consequences for Republican women whose votes you need. It has serious consequences for the daughters and the sisters and the mothers out there who want to participate in sports and don't want to be erased from entire athletic fields because men who want to cosplay as their sex take their positions because they treat women's sports as a rec league. It's a serious thing that Republicans shouldn't run from. And demanding accountability, there was no accountability here. They just like ham-fisted kind of, you know what they did? They came out over the weekend. Let me pull this up. They had this weird, what is it? This ad where they trotted out the Clydesdales. And I guess it's all okay, guys. Here's our new ad. It's a patriotic ad featuring Clydesdales and American landmarks. I mean, it was a back to basics thing. They lost $6 billion in market value. They had a really kind of, like I said, ham-fisted, pardon me, non-apology from the head of Budweiser. It honestly feels, his response here almost feels like it's getting right up to the line of don't engage in cancel culture, doesn't it? It's like he's going right up to the line saying, don't engage in cancel culture. This is where I will absolutely battle it out with certain people in the party. I absolutely will. Because this is a significant issue. This is, I was looking at this thing online. Reddit used to have all, Reddit is this, what do you want to call it? You can actually treat it as a search engine. It's actually, you can get better results than by searching things on Google by adding like Reddit to it. It's basically like a giant message board. And they call each thread like a subreddit, right? And there's all different communities for everything. I mean, you can talk about Game of Thrones. You can talk about Minecraft. You can talk about women's fashion, for example. Women can't even get online and talk to each other about stuff unless they lock everything down. And then it kind of defeats the purpose of like having that camaraderie and the sisterhood, because it's all of these, there were women who were complaining and they were getting banned right and left on Reddit because all of these men who were in woman face started just overtaking all of the subreddits where women wanted to talk about hairstyles, or they wanted to talk about, you know, fashion or whatever. And it was, they were being entirely overran by dudes who were in woman face. And if women complained about it, because some of them were really creepy. There are a ton of examples online because women were, that had participated on Reddit for a really long time, were getting run out of these spaces. And women were being called bigots, and they were being abused and smeared if they voiced a concern for their comfort. Like this is, you know, they would have guys with beards wearing short skirts and having their shirts tied up, you know, in the middle of their chest saying, does this outfit look okay? And like posting this stuff over and over again in these subreddits, like obsessively. And if women voiced concerns, they were run off. This is the type of stuff we're talking about. This is more than just Budweiser. It's more than just this dude. This is about, do women have a right to feel uncomfortable? Do we have a right to feel secure when we go to the restroom? Do we have a right to feel secure if we just say simply, you know, scientific truths a la Galileo that, you know, women exist. Because have you seen some of this stuff? We have violent, murderous trans activists that shot up a school and a church. And just weeks after that, there are Republicans out there saying, well, let's leave them alone now. Let's leave Budweiser alone. Because in the wake of something like this, this is the partnership they make. This is what they decide to promote. I think people who say this are missing the point. It's a clueless response. Women are being told, look, when I was younger, when I was a teenager, I was always told by my mom, listen to your gut. Listen to your gut. If you feel uncomfortable, if it feels weird, that's your gut warning you. How many women listening to me right now were told that? How many men listening to me right now? How many of you told your daughters that? Your sisters? Your wives? How many of you heard your dads tell your siblings that? Your sisters? Now what we're being told is if you have that feeling, you're a bigot. If you feel like that, you're the problem, not anyone else. We're being told to sacrifice our safety at the altar of wokery. There was a girl raped in a high school bathroom by a man who cosplayed as a woman. A high school bathroom in Virginia. You remember this. It made national news. The dad was vilified. Vilified. There were stories that were running online questioning whether or not the girl was a slut. Because she was attacked. They would rather ruin her than actually hold accountable her attacker. This is what Budweiser validates. It makes a mockery of women. It diminishes the actual problems with this issue. And in weeks after, six innocent people are murdered because they're Christian by a militant trans activist. This is the partnership that this company makes. And now you have like Republicans campaigning for office or surrogates out there saying that it's not a big deal. It sure as hell is a big deal. I bet the women who have been targeted, the two women who were raped by the same male student think it's a big deal. Don't sit here and tell me they're two are not the same thing. Really? Because when you look at the media and you look at everything else in the wake of what happened at Covenant School, who were the people that were lifted up? It wasn't the innocents. Wasn't Christians. Now, we were told if we said anything further, then we're somehow attacking a community. If we criticize the violent history of their militant activism, then we're somehow attacking a community. That is the stuff that you were trying to mainstream. So no, we're not going to forget it. We're not going to look the other way. And the reason that we are in this problem still today is because Republicans have been absolute coward simps and they have run from this issue. I'm so tired of people talking a good game and then running. It makes me angry. I mean, I know people who are dealing with this issue, and I just am floored. We had a family member 2 years ago, a cheerleader. This is a school in Jefferson County, Missouri. Their school was making national headlines because the girls were told they either had to change in the bathroom or share the locker room with an 18-year-old male who was identifying as a female. You're talking about minor girls, young girls. Freshman girls in high school. And remember what they tell you, that just because someone identifies as a woman doesn't mean that they're not attracted to women. And we had family members who felt uncomfortable with this, and they were called bigots, had stuff thrown at them. They were bullied over it. This is the stuff you're mainstreaming. I mean, you know, we got to have a little help here from some of these Republican brothers out there. Don't you think so? When are the men going to step up here a little bit? A lot of them have been on the Republican side, but I'll be damned if I see any Republican men get out there and say, no, no, we're not going to. Let's just leave them alone. No, uh-uh. You owe it to your sisters. You owe it to your mothers. You owe it to your daughters. Just as I think we speak up against the third wave feminism, the feminist stuff that's out there hurting y'all. Y'all got to return this. Come on. It's teamwork. I do get really angry about it. Man, I'm so, honestly, I hate saying this. I'm so glad that I have boys. I'm glad that I have boys. Although in some respects, I think it's, I don't know if what's harder. I used to think maybe it was harder to have girls, and I don't think that. But there is an interesting thing that has been happening. You know, aside from this really quickly, we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when the Title IX thing came out, that because they're redefining women, Title IX, which was, you know, really used to the diminishment of boys in schools, is now actually being used to the diminishment of women in schools. And so there was this weird thing that now women are really, I think it might be harder now because it seems like there are so many more men that are cosplaying as women than women cosplaying as men. I don't know. Maybe that's just, you know, it's anecdotal. It's just based on my own life experience and observations. But, you know, that's just kind of what I see. And it's just, I'm so glad, actually, I don't have a daughter because I would be enraged. It's like some of these people like Riley Gaines and others, they have been so classy in how they handle this stuff. And they have received the worst treatment. By the way, I can't imagine after you saw that video, then you're going to go out and say, oh, no, Budweiser, let's forget about it. No, we're not going to forget about it. And it's not, because it's not about the beer. It's about what you're mainstreaming and what you're saying. You're saying it's okay. It's a stamp of approval. And it's a stamp of approval, even if it's just silent acceptance. Do not go softly into that good night. I have a lot more on this stuff, too. We've got some primary stuff. We got wokery. Okay, you guys are you the one that I was trying to remember? You're the one who gets really, really mad about airline seats, right?
That I get mad about
yeah,
them?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like seriously obese people. If they
yeah, it is a little
seat.
Uncomfortable because I'm already broad-shouldered and big, and when I get into any one of those seats and okay. Someone's next to me, yeah, if they're larger.
Well, there's this one, I don't want to say influencer, content creator. I hate all these terms. They call her plus size. Plus size is plus size. This woman is morbidly obese. And I don't say that as a way to make someone feel bad about themselves. I don't know how you can look when you're so, I don't even know what her cholesterol numbers are. I can't even imagine. But it can't, I'm not saying that to like ridicule her. How in the world are you not, is no one in your life saying this is so unhealthy, you've got to stop? But she's petitioning to try to force airlines to offer, to basically refund large passengers and to share the cost of having to get more than one seat if they can't fit in one seat with everybody else. We're going to explain it. We got Florida Man on the way as well. There's a lot to hit.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Of all the things to steal, why a hearse? I mean, I'm just asking for like, you know, a few friends here. Why would you, like all of us, why would you do that? So this Florida man, you could say it's a goth crime, but I don't know. It was in Gainesville. A dude stole a hearse and then crashed it Sunday afternoon. 54-year-old, he was not immediately identified. He's facing a charge of Grand Theft Auto criminal mischief. Officers say that he stole a Cadillac hearse from Chestnut Funeral Home. Gosh, I hope it was empty. And crashed it. It was about 1:30 in the afternoon. So they said that multiple vehicles were involved in the crash, but no reported injuries, thankfully. So they did. That's all we have. And then there's like a little video of the hearse at the intersection involved in the wreck. Out of all the things to steal, why is it that? That's just, of all the things, you steal a hearse. I can't get into the one that is about the dog, dude, that you told me, because I will get so mad. I won't even finish the story, and I'm going to be flying down to Florida to take care of this dude. A 72-year-old man lost his leg in an alligator attack at a Florida RV park. Titusville, 72-year-old man, it was below the knee. He was bitten by a gator. And was on Friday in the afternoon. And there's a lot of bodies of water, they noted, in the area. The alligator legit amputated. He took it right off, the leg below the knee. The victim was airlifted to a trauma center. The alligator went back underwater. They dispatched an alligator trapper. Two alligators were removed, but they don't know if either of those were the ones that were responsible for the attack. So please, like, do not, A, they tell you don't feed alligators, and then don't linger by water. Just don't. Because gators. So thankfully, this guy hopefully is going to be okay. Stick with us.
TikTok, you have been outspoken against a ban. Is there anything that you could learn about what the Chinese have access to, what they're doing with it, that would prompt you to support a ban?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen any evidence of Chinese espionage or Chinese.
The intel or anything.
Yeah, I haven't seen. There hasn't been like a top secret congressional briefing on what China is doing with TikTok. We've never had that. At the same time, Facebook, in real time, ignored Russian interference in our 2016 elections.
Oh,
like,
for the
that
love.
Happened. That's a fact.
Oh, for the love. So this is that Jamal Bowman guy who says he's against a TikTok ban because he hasn't personally seen any evidence of Chinese espionage. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's the case today should be news to him then. Welcome back to the program. Top of our third hour. Stephen Yates, just very, the timing's always great. He's going to join us later in this particular hour to discuss this. So so it was the Department of Justice and FBI that came out as we were going on air saying that they were going to announce that they have made, they're filing some charges in a national security issue, you know, some case, a big case, and that's all they had said. So they said two, and Lorraine was monitoring this as well, the press conference, while we were getting through some of the other stuff for you, but they said that they're, remember the story when we had, and we've talked to Yates about this before, and I've discussed this story with you, how there were essentially little CCP substations for Chinese police, like not police and people who are wearing the badge who are of Chinese descent or who are Chinese, but I mean like actual nationals working with the CCP in Beijing. Big difference. A little substation for them in a number of cities across America, and they were harassing Chinese nationals. And this, there was a lot of discussion about this. There was a whistleblower who came forward. So these complaints and this case is related to that. Two criminal complaints. Apparently, 30 officers and a couple of New York City residents, they are saying are in violation of U.S. law. It sounds like that substation that was in, was it in Chinatown in New York?
Yeah.
And apparently, like for instance, some of what these CCP police officers within these little substations were doing is if there were Chinese nationals who were protesting or who were very outspoken against the Communist Party of China, they were tracking them down and harassing them. That's what, in the United States, that's what was happening in the United States. And they were trying to get people to go back to China. So that is what these crimes are. And they said apparently they also operated an online troll farm to harass what were primarily dissidents. Now, I have seen that happen in real time. There was one, and I remarked about it. This was like a year or no, not a year. It was a couple of years ago. There was, and I think she had written some stuff for, maybe it was the New York Times or et cetera, and a Chinese national, an American citizen now, but was from Hong Kong and was writing a lot of stories about Hong Kong and the Chinese takeover, et cetera. And I think Twitchy had noted this, and there were several other sources. Whenever she would share her pieces online, or like a link to her piece, right, on Twitter, even Facebook or wherever, they were so overwhelmed. The comments were all of these like brand new accounts and a lot of them followed each other, and they were all created in a similar frame of time. And they were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hundreds of comments. And not just her, but that was the one I actually saw happen. They would just harass these people. And that was during the Hong Kong takeover. And we remember that. Yes, they have operated troll farms. Which, Kane, why don't we have a troll farm?
Right.
Like, I really feel like we have missed out on an amazing opportunity. We're capitalists, right?
Yeah, let's get AI on it.
Why don't we have a troll? I'm actually not joking. I want a troll farm. Jeremy Clarkson can go all the way the hell up to, you know, Chipping Norton, and he can he can run a farm in the Cotswolds, and they're, I mean, he's like, so his town hates him, that town hates him, and they've been trying to run him out of business. He can operate a farm. Why can't I do also a farm? But a troll farm. How are the trolls coming up? They're doing really good, you know.
Blooming.
They're blooming. That would be actually just in the vein of Dirty Work, that movie, which was hysterical. Why? I mean, why not? That would be so fun to do. I'd be totally transparent about it, though, you know, just because it'd be funny to do. That's why is that not a series? That would be actually a really good short film. That would be hysterical. The Troll Farm. I want my own troll farm. What'd I call it? Oh, man. And have like overalls, you know, and all, everything. I wouldn't need a tractor, but I'd want one. Like a Ferrari. One of those Ferrari tractors. Like what he got. Get one of them. It'd be amazing. Woo! Anyway, I'd like got lost in the accessories. I mean, I wouldn't really need a lot with a troll farm, would I? I wouldn't.
No.
But anyway, long story short, apparently they had their own troll farm. Golly, why are we not doing that? I'm going to go off in the ditch for a second. It's tomorrow's National Theft Day, right? Where the government steals all our money. And then people get really excited. You've been conditioned to get really excited when the government returns some of the money that it stole from you back to you. We stole too much. Here's some more. Here's some back. And then we get all excited. Ah, thank you. It's like a thief coming back to your home. Here, we took too much of your jewelry, or we took too much of your, you know, stuff. Here's some back. So I'm just, you know, why we pay so much in taxes. Do we got a troll farm? That seems like something the CIA should do, right? I'm telling you, there are certain people who are some of the most annoying people I've ever met. But if I was making a troll farm, they'd be my first hires. I'd be like, you were created for a specific purpose in life. And it is to serve your country as a troll. I mean, it's a whole army, right? It's like it's a human DOS attack, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. Think of it. It's a human DOS attack. That's what a lot of this is. They just pepper you until you're overloaded. Why are we not doing that? Man, I have like 10 people I would hire immediately. I don't like any of them, but they would be great at this. Come and serve your country. Join the troll farm. I could just see the World War II-esque posters for that now, right? Where it would be like, knit your bit, ladies. And it was telling women to knit some socks. Knit your bit.
We need you.
Join the troll farm. That's a poster. Dibs. That is a poster. Why do we not have a troll army? Where are our taxpayer dollars going? I want to see aliens and I want a troll army. I don't ask for a lot, right? This has been a tough couple years for everybody. We're in a recession. We can't buy nothing because our purchase power has been cut. At the very least, give us something about aliens, right? Give us a troll farm. We're not asking for a whole lot, right? Just a little bit. Man, sidebar to the sidebar, I'm going to get back. I would totally join a troll farm.
Right.
I totally would. Can you imagine?
Sounds fun.
Being in service because you are that, because you guys know this, right? Everybody knows somebody, even if it's just one person amongst your acquaintance. They are the most annoying, relentless person ever. Even when they're not trying to be annoying, they're annoying. You know these people. Those are the people for whom these times call. Join the troll farm. I already have the ad to advertise it. I already have the ad for it, the recruitment ad. It's done in my head. It's done from start to finish. I got the score and everything. It's done that quick. Oh, man. Can you imagine? Who's going to be the secretary of troll? It'd be like a whole other branch. Oh, man. And then, okay, another sidebar. I'm sorry. Just bear with me here for a minute because we got serious stuff to hit. So what would like the not the logo, the emblem be? You know, right? I mean, because you're talking about like a significant portion of time that you're spending like annoying the hell out of other like commie nationals and stuff, going after these people and overloading them social, etc. Like the troll farm. I'm just saying, seems like, you know, this seems like that would be a good investment of our thieved tax dollars. Now, here's another thing, too, because apparently they didn't talk about Zoom at all in this. Let me go back. Let me get out of the ditch, go back to the path through the sidebars and get back to the regular topic. So apparently they haven't discussed Zoom at all, which seems like that might be something that you might want to do. You know, like just, I don't know, maybe just, you know, discuss it a little bit, especially with, I mean, you know, you have these lawmakers who don't want to ban TikTok, which if TikTok was a private entity, that would be one thing and I would be against banning it, but it's literally a government creation. I'm not exaggerating. I mean, it is a government creation. The company that owns TikTok, the people are members of the CCP. They're part of the government. And the government has like a person in there in the executive leadership working with the company. This is not up for debate. It's a government entity. And I don't really care so much about the data mining. I mean, what are they going to see me look at holsters and what seeds? And I started getting into embroidery. I have to have stuff like repetitive stuff to calm my mind because I'm like a very wound up person. So I got into like different types of like threads and bobbins and that. Is that really, that's what they're going to get on me? But also this is a PSYOP. The data isn't what it does. It's the behavior that it drives. That's the value. And with Zoom, I don't know, like whenever anyone asks me to do a Zoom, I just want to know, I just want to go, I didn't know you were CCP affiliated. That is kind of my standard response at this point. I refuse to get Zoom. I am a pain to work with because I will not get it. And everybody wants to talk with Zoom. I don't do Zoom. But apparently, they didn't even mention this, but they didn't mention Zoom at all in this ongoing case, even though apparently someone involved with the company was also involved with these little CCP substations. I think there was some sort of Zoom involvement. They had a Zoom employee who allowed the Chinese PD apparently to get involved with these meetings. And there were two U.S. citizens that opened one of the little CCP substation offices. And I mean, this is just wild. And the fact that they mentioned nothing about that is pretty amazing to me. Just saying, we're going to talk about all of this with Stephen Yates here coming up. And some of the other things that we're looking at, too. The primary is heating up. Did you guys see that Never Back Down thing? The Never Back Down PAC ad campaign? So because you have the Trump PAC that came out with the pudding thing, the pudding ad, which I thought was kind of weak. Can I play some of this? This was the Second Amendment one that apparently, full disclosure, I know no one involved with this PAC. I don't know anybody involved with this PAC. Just because they ran a gun ad does not mean I know them. I don't know. I couldn't tell you who operated it. I couldn't tell you nothing about it. But this ad that they dropped with all of the other Trump PAC ads about DeSantis, this Never Back Down PAC ad, that audio soundbite 16, this was just damn. Listen to this.
Trump promised NRA members he'd have their back. But when Second Amendment rights came under attack, Trump abandoned us and stood with liberal Democrats.
Side. You guys, half of you are so afraid of the NRA.
We have to fight them every once in a while. That's okay.
Some of you people are petrified of the NRA. You can't be petrified. They have great power over you people. They have less power over me. I don't need it. What do I need?
That is why I have called for red flag laws.
Or might take the firearms first and then go to court. I like taking the guns early. Take the guns first, go through due process.
He and I introduced another assault weapons bill.
Diane, you have some very good ideas. Diane, if you could add what you have also, and I think you can, into the bill.
Oh my God. Show her you're ready.
Can you do that? Joe, can you do that, Pat? Can you add?
If you help.
So this is some of this ad from this Never Back Down pack. I mean, Kane and I are just going, who are that meme of that bear that's kind of looking? Damn. So there's that ad. We're going to go to break now. Oh, man. We got headlines on the way. Stephen Yates on the way, too.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Mm-mm-mm. So I've got a couple of things here to make sure that we hit. So first and foremost, we were telling you this announcement of this criminal case looking at the creation of those CCP substations that have been going and harassing insanely actual Chinese nationals and even who are even American citizens now. I mean, it's kind of a big deal. This case ongoing. We're going to talk to Stephen Yates more about that. One of Putin's T-90 tanks was spotted at a Louisiana truck stop. It was seized by Ukrainian forces, and there was just one that was found off Interstate 10. It was shipped over to the U.S. because you can own a tank, just by the way. You absolutely can. California power companies are rolling out a fixed-rate bill proposal based on your income. And the tiny number, well, I told you this, tiny number of shoplifters driving the theft in New York City.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
The NPS officers who have been charged today are not focused on preventing crime. Rather, the complaints charge these NPS officers with engaging in transnational repression schemes targeting members of the Chinese diaspora community in New York City and elsewhere in the United States. And as shown in these complaints, the NPS has repeatedly and flagrantly violated our nation's sovereignty.
This is a crazy story. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, your lovable curmudgeon. You can listen coast to coast in a market near you. You can stream the show as well. Watch the simulcast federal on Facebook, YouTube, as well as Channel 347 DirecTV. So this, we started the broadcast and we were letting you know of the DOJ, FBI, going to have an announcement that they were pertaining to a case involving a national security issue. And as it turns out, it had to do with these, for the lack of a better way to describe them, these illegal, undeclared CCP substations, police substations that were operating in the United States, in lower Manhattan. And so prosecutors have charged, 44 people, announced charges on 44 in a major crackdown on espionage. They were apparently running this undeclared Chinese government police station in Manhattan to spy on and harass dissidents. They had a troll farm, which is why we were talking about why don't we have a troll farm. They had a troll farm. So over a dozen of these nationals have been charged with prosecutors waging a campaign of surveillance and harassment against dissidents in the United States. And apparently they were saying that they were trying to persuade these one Chinese fugitive who the crime was they disagreed with Xi Jinping to go back to China, and they were harassing and threatening the individual going back as far as 2018. There in 2022, China's government was asking this same national to locate a pro-democracy Chinese activist living in California. This is how in the world does something like this happen in the United States, where parents can fall under suspicion for speaking out in school board meetings, but not CCP members running undeclared actual whole entire substations for Xi Jinping in the United States? So let's go to the expert on this. This is such a crazy story. Our friend Stephen Yates, who is a senior fellow at America First Policy Institute and chair of the China Policy Initiative, he joins us now via Skype. Stephen, always a pleasure to have you. I mean, obviously, we've talked about this before, but I mean, finally, charges have been announced. I just don't understand how something like this happens, goes on for as long as it does. And it's weird because with all of China's rhetoric that if you so much look at Taiwan, it's considered an act of war. But what's this?
Yeah. Well, this is, as they say, provocative. But how does it happen is somewhat of a long story. We'll give the Cliff Notes version. But really, first and foremost, almost everyone in China at some point in their education is learning English. Maybe not fluent, but some. They're learning about America and the world. Almost no Americans are waking up and anywhere in their K-12 or even through college are learning Chinese or really learning very much about China. And so when they walk around a metropolitan area and there's lots of different kinds of people, they just say, oh, here's this air quotes Asian American community. And that's how this basket of people exists in our culture and society's level of awareness. These are the people who don't get the special scholarships to go to Ivy League schools because they have worked too hard and performed too well on school and tests. But to the people who are in this community, the biggest encryption they have is language. Most Americans, even in law enforcement and intelligence, have no idea what these people are doing or saying because they speak a different language, one we're not studying, with lots of different dialects. So how does it happen? We have big cities with import-export companies. We have universities bringing a lot of people in and out. We want to be warm-hearted, open Americans. We're super, super tolerant, but what we're tolerant of is letting a lot of these cockroaches in with no supervision. They go on for a long time. They racially profile all these other people. They are, they're, what they do to these people is demonic. And it's hard for Americans to believe, but I've had friends who live in as far away as Midland, Texas, who've had these rabid dogs kind of stalk them around small town America, interrupting their house, their life at home, going to their place of work, stalking them outside of church. This happens even more easily in metropolitan areas. And so it's sort of like the worst of the troll farm on social media, but it's with real people in real life, really in your face.
This is, I mean, it's wild. We're talking to our friend Stephen Yates about this case that was announced by the DOJ and FBI as it relates to these charges against these Chinese nationals who have been operating this CCP substation. I mean, obviously Beijing told them to do this because some of the stuff that came out in the charges was one of these individuals who was charged, the 61-year-old from Bronx, who was arrested today. I mean, this guy was told to go after dissidents.
Yes. Well, I mean, so on the one hand, can we blame the worst of the worst of the world for saying go after the good people? We should expect that. So shame on our government for not placing a high enough priority to realize they're going to do this. But we need to have a capacity to protect these kinds of people. So we have all these debates about asylum and what kind of cases to let people in. But once you even make that decision and you just let them loose out into the wilds, and increasingly New York City and LA and San Francisco, these are wilder than the Wild West used to be at this point. We don't have safety for even ordinary citizens, much less people under asylum. So this is a real serious thing. If anyone really cared about human rights, which I doubt because a lot of people just want to hashtag it on social media and check the virtue box, but if they really cared about human rights, we would be doing a lot more to protect these people.
And with this too, that one of the cases involves these Chinese security officials spying on Zoom calls and then harassing the people that they identified on Zoom. Yet no one said really anything about Zoom. Everyone's talking about TikTok, fine, but Zoom, we kind of forget. Zoom is sort of it's similarly structured the way that TikTok is, but so many people use that in place of Skype. Talk to us a little bit about this, because this seems like at some level that, I mean, you have to be involved if you're using Zoom to spy on people. I don't know. I mean, I just feel like all the focus is on TikTok and not really so much Zoom. And here it's like it plays a role in this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to me, the universe is so big. I just want to start taking a bite wherever the bite is available. So if TikTok can get pushed back, let's push back there. But we need to have a serious conversation, if we had serious leaders, about how to strategically decouple our communication systems from the Communist Party of China. There are viable alternatives. I have some friends that are in the telecommunications business, and they would gladly provide more secure platforms to do all of these same things. We just need to be smarter about it. You would think we would start with government, but you'd also think that universities and corporations would care about these kinds of things. But maybe they're just too distracted with bowing to the emperor and kissing his ring, and they haven't thought about maybe securing their communications.
So how does obviously, I don't think that Joe Biden's going to be asked anything about this. I mean, clearly, I think he should be. This is a pretty significant a huge story. They haven't addressed, I've never ever heard one single question fielded by anyone at the administration on this story. Correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I have not, in all the years that we've discussed it and that we've known that this has existed, not a single thing has been discussed or answered by the administration on it.
So my memory is also imperfect with every passing day, much less every passing year.
What? But yours is perfect. What are you talking about?
but I think there might have been maybe from a Ducey-like person in the White House press corps, one or two volleys on this when it was hot in the headlines, when this fake police station thing was first sussed out. And I think the Daily Caller News Foundation has been trying to go after this, I think, with admirable vigor. It's odd, the silence that this is met with. It's chilling to me because people went to the rooftops about Russia, Russia, Russia on some really crazy stuff that turned out not to be true. Many of us knew wasn't true to begin with. This is very real. It's happening. Tons of witnesses, tons of evidence. And it's chilling the silence it's met with by not just the White House, a lot of Congress, and a lot of the media, too.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with our friend Stephen Yates. You can find him on Twitter at YatesComs. Still talking about China, but kind of shifting topic just a little bit. So last week, of course, after Emmanuel Macron was humiliated by Xi Jinping, and then, of course, now Germany struck back at Macron and some other European leaders over his remarks based around the United States and Taiwan, and nobody wants to be America's follower, etc. But you also had Brazil's president who went to Beijing to meet with Xi Jinping. So he, and of course, this is right after the news came out that Brazil was going to rescind its recognition of Taiwan as a sovereign entity. So that partnership, I mean, I know that there are the BRICS nations, you know, those developing nations of which China is a part. But it, to me, this seems as though any discussion about Ukraine is just a veneer. Any discussion about trade really ultimately is a veneer. It looks like he's gathering allies.
Yeah. And again, I expect the bad guys to be trying to do this. Now, Lula happens to have been a longtime loony leftist, anti-America kind of guy. This is why the United States government should not have tipped the scales against the outgoing president of Brazil. That was a very close and contested election, Javier still contested Bolsonaro. Now. Yes. And so it's not all of Brazil that's in with this crazy commie stuff. But Lula sure is. Way back yonder when I was in the White House and I was a young bucky at one of these posh dinners with a visiting leader, Lula was one of them. He had the best baritone voice of a small man I've ever met, which was kind of fun. But he had his sister as the secretary for like environment in Brazil. And I had to sit next to her. And I was as if Pepe Le Pew, not in going after her, but as in I must have stunk like crazy because she wanted nothing to do with me because she was all about Brazil and the environment. And they didn't like America. They didn't like conservatives. They certainly didn't like us in the Bush administration at that time. That's the kind of the polity that's out there in our hemisphere and a lot of parts of the world. And if we don't get wise and have a real economic engagement strategy, make manufacturing platforms here that are real, give the voters in these countries something to say yes to. And if we fail to do that, then these weirdos come into power and they can play this theater in the international stage and it hurts us.
You touched on something really quick before we go that is fascinating because my husband and I, this is the conversations, the types of conversations we have, you know, like at dinner and things. We were discussing, you know, 3D printing and how 3D printing is becoming super affordable and, you know, all of this, you know, autonomous manufacturing and how the jobs are still going to be needed in terms of programming and repairing these things, et cetera, and how that technology is being driven here in the, by Americans here in the United States, whereas China, they have people, not machines, which is where everything is going. Like there was one car that was entirely 3D printed, I think, and put together by robots, all this stuff. That, I mean, it is definitely a way that America could regain the manufacturing crown, but we don't have the administration in place to do it. That's a conversation, though, for another time. But you made me think of that. And I'm like, that's something that administrations could be focusing on. Republicans could talk about. Stephen Yates at YatesComs on Twitter, two M's. Always appreciate your expertise. Thank you, my friend.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
It is not rational that we should have a dramatically higher death rate among school-aged children because of gun violence than any other country in the world.
Well,
and, you know, a lot of people get mad about this thoughts and prayers, but if you believe that you have to, if you believe you are compelled to let kids die in order to keep your freedoms, That's
okay,
sort
that's
of
one
the
of the stupidest things ever. This is a guy who couldn't even define what is Bill Clinton. First off, it's not that all of these people are from quote-unquote gun violence. It's actually from drug and gang violence. And just to reiterate, the number that they're citing when they say, oh, well, you know, it's the children, it's the highest number, you know, gun violence, etc. The issue is that they incorporate, and by they, I mean the CDC, they include 18 to 19-year-olds as part of their definition as to what children are. And then the gang and drug violence, which if you cross-reference it to the publicly available FBI uniform crime reports that are tallied every single year, you can see that it's 18 and 19-year-olds that are engaged in the drug and gang violence. And this, of course, is what drives that quote-unquote homicide rate, gun homicide rate, for quote-unquote children as the CDC defines it. Because if they actually had to cut it off at 18, then it drops drastically under like automobile accidents and drownings and everything else. So they include the 18 to 19 year olds as by definition children, and those are the ones that are involved in gang and drug violence, and they use that so they can inflate the numbers and fearmonger you about mass shootings. That's the whole point of it is. And you have Bill Clinton playing into this. I mean, this is, you're lying to people to try to scare them out of their rights, and you're fear-mongering using tragedies to do it, which is ghoulish. Close but no cigar, Bill. All right, today's stupidity came.
All right, it is Hank Johnson, Representative Hank Johnson, the one who believed Guam would flip over if too many tanks and planes were on one side.
Oh, right,
remember
yeah.
Him? Yeah. Well, he's saying that this is just a Broadway production, this hearing about victims in New York City. Let's hear what he had to say.
Like jackbooted thugs. They've descended on New York City using violent crime as their pretext. The MAGA Republican extremists are not interested in gun violence or even knife violence.
What?
The Republican witnesses who have used their time to criticize District Attorney Bragg
now, listen, the,
have served as props
the hearing goes off a little
in
bit
a
here.
MAGA Broadway production. The real purpose in coming to New York City.
Can we have order?
The real purpose in coming to New York City.
Yeah, they weren't having no Hank Johnson.
No, they weren't. I'll be on Jesse Waters tonight in the 6 p.m. Central hour. Sign up for Substack, Chapter and Verse. Back with you behind the mic tomorrow.